Manuel.
Here.
Hartke.
Here.
Hudson.
Here.
Sutton.
Here.
Banks. Busey.
Here.
Anderson.
Here. All right, next item is approval of the agenda. I'd like to ask a motion to be made, or if I can make it myself, for an amendment to add on to item 8 under old business regarding the Carl President's possible running operating nursing home under nonprofit. Last time we met, the item was on the agenda, but they weren't meeting for several days after the meeting. So this will give us an update. Can I get a motion for that
amendment?
You can
just add that to the agenda.
Yeah, I'll just add.
Subject to us approving.
All right. Can I get approval of the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All right. Moved second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Approval of the minutes. We have 2 minutes. The July 10th and July 31st. Do we have a motion to approve?
Move to approve both.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Public participation. Do we have any public participation?
I guess it's my turn in the barrel again. I'm so Dave Laker. I wasn't going to come tonight, and I thought about it. I figured to give you guys, the new people, a couple of months to get your feet on the ground and things going. But the way things are going in the cafeteria, I thought, well, I'll come and tell you about it. It's just a normal operation in the cafeteria, just chaos. And on the weekends, it's worse than that. And we've got all kinds of things going on. Near as I can tell, there's no leadership involved. And if there is, there's not an awareness of that it's there. The biggest thing seems to be that on weekends, there's a lot of people that aren't aware of what their function is or is supposed to be. And we've got a lot of texting going on. And I think the number one thing they should be inside of texting is taking care of residents. The thing that gets confusing about the cafeteria is the fact that you've got four or five different levels of help that's needed to feed or take care of the residents. On weekends, getting consistent help or just help there is a problem. We got people that don't know what their function is or who their residents are, and it just falls downhill. If we happen to get in a situation where dietary services itself is short of help, well, then we get into a late meal situation and it goes downhill from there. We've had some problems. I don't know. I think about a week ago, a week and a half ago, we had green beans 3 nights in a row till they were wore out on the third night. Yeah, the reason they were wore out is because nobody would eat them. That, you know, I wouldn't, and I'm sure that the residents that I saw were not very happy with it, and I heard that they had lots of garbage that night. And, you know, it's not any point to us paying and having that meal fixed and then just throwing it in the barrel. Those things are things that residents don't need to put up with. I mean, it's demeaning, it's wrong, and that's a priority to fix it. I keep telling you that the thing revolves around this dietary services in the cafeteria, and it does. And most of the problems we have with employees are in that area. And I haven't seen any management per se out there. I mean, I don't know if we're leading from behind again, but if we are, it's not working. I don't think you need management out there. I think you need lead people that The employees know they're elite people, and they know what the responsibilities are, and they're out there, and if they need help, they pitch in and help. And when we have shortages in dietary, and you got 90 people in there you're trying to feed, I counted 93 one day last week, it gets real confusing. And everybody's got to know what they're doing. If somebody's got to come by and tell them they're doing a good job, or they're not doing a good job, whatever the case may be. And those are big items with me. And that's probably enough said tonight. It'll give you something to think about anyway. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. Any other public speakers? Ms. Petrie.
Patsy Petrie. What I wanted to share with you all this evening is an interesting case study that I happened upon, which is really parallel to our situation here, but for two key ingredients. This is about Oak Hill Nursing Home, which is the Monroe County Nursing Home, and that's in Waterloo, Illinois. Waterloo is 20 minutes from from St. Louis, so that's a large population center, and that county is a commission form of government as compared to ours, which is a county board. Other than that, the parallels are very educational. First parallel is that the home was managed by MPA from 1999 to 2013. And during that time period, MPA worked with the home to build a new facility. The old home was 225 beds. They built a new facility has 131 beds and also 50 units for supportive living. And during the building time, they just didn't add new people. So that when they reduced it to 160 people, so when the move was done, there was space for everyone, and people were coming to that nursing home with the long-term goal that they would be in supportive living. One of the things that I was not aware of is the difference between assisted living and supportive living. And assisted living, you cannot use Medicaid. Supportive living, you can. So that's a very significant learning point for me. The payer mix in the home is 50% private pay, 40% Medicaid, 10% Medicare, and in the supportive living is 70% private and 30% Medicaid. They do their own cooking there. The home has a union, it's the steel workers. I neglected to find out if that means the whole staff is unionized or just certain aspects of the staff. Daily charges are a little bit less than ours. Private is 170, semi-private's 145. The new building bond will be paid off in 2025, and they do have a small subsidy from property tax, but the home is so financially stable that they are going to be removing that. And the home is so financially stable that they felt they didn't need MPA any longer. That's why MPA is not working with them since 2013. Not unlike here, the home administrator told me they have an increase of assisted living there, so that is a competition. But up to this point in time, it hasn't caused any occupancy issues. They're basically full. Every now and then they do have a waiting list, and the home has a range of 4 to 5 star rating. As here also, the competition for Medicare residents is keen, and all homes appreciate having that kind of peer mix. She did share with me what she's hearing at conferences, that on the horizon are changes coming for facilities and the related rules. In addition, she agrees that changes to Medicaid payments will increase the financial challenges for all of all nursing homes and supportive living. I'm sure that I missed a lot of questions, but I was very appreciative that she would spend time with me over the phone teaching me about that facility, and especially the parallelisms between the two case studies. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that. Are there any other public speakers? Seeing none, we'll move on to communications. Do any of the board members have communications?
We have a little bit. Actually, this is on the agenda, but I would think. No, it's not. I'd like to share that we have in response really to Rick's request, pass along, I know it did come out in the packet. We've organized something of an event. Actually, Mary has led the organization of this event. It's a concert and ice cream social. The Friends of Champaign County Nursing Home have been behind this, but Mary got going, and we're asking for the support of this board to be there on Sunday, August 27th, right, Mary, for both
yes.
Greeting and doing tours
if needed.
We also would appreciate any help in publicizing this, as we see as an opportunity to show the community what's good about the nursing home and how nice it is. Get some of the responses that Amanda has reported she gets from potential employees when they come in, when they walk in, that they're positively impressed with it and surprised because of it's in contrast to some of what they've heard. So we're trying to make sure we get this word out to people. I'd just like to give a little thank you to the Red Bicycle Ice Cream, who's donating the ice cream for the event, and I think it would be a little bit of an attraction. And so we need board members there from 2 to 3:30 on Sunday, August 27th. There's a few other things that we agreed to do. I know you've got your to-do list, Jack, of bringing an awning. We've got the music coming, various other things, but mostly what we need is people here to help give tours, help talk about what's good. We'll put together some talking points so that we're consistent in our message. And is there anything else, Mary, that you think we should mention?
Just help people find, hopefully we can do this in the courtyard, and we need people to, probably before 2 o'clock, because it starts at 2,
right.
So to help escort people to the courtyard, because people won't know where to go. I would say more like 1:30.
Yeah, right, 1:30 to 3:30, right. The other thing we do need help on is publicizing. So the Friends of Champaign County are taking this to all the assisted living. We've got Bill is interested in doing an interview tomorrow, among other things, but they will hopefully promote the ice cream social. Ollie send it to their mailing list. One of the arts groups is sending it to their mailing list. And really, it's the Friends who are making sure we get out. But if you can, Tammy's going to be sending it to one of the county mailing lists. If there's any other group that we could get exposure for in this, we'd really appreciate your help in doing that. I think Mary and a couple others are taking it to some Rotaries, but if there's a organization you participate in, I've got 250 flyers that were printed up, and we appreciate your help in getting it distributed. And it's going to be both good music and good ice cream. So it's not like you'd just be doing somebody a favor. It will be enjoyable.
Thank you. Any other communications?
Well, I'm sorry to hear that Amanda is leaving us. And I just want to publicly thank her and have it reflected on the record that this board appreciates her service to the residents and the staff. It's really been outstanding.
Absolutely has. Thank you. All right, so management update. Susan.
Well, first of all, I want to introduce Tom Danker also. I don't know, he wasn't here the last time. He is working with us as our CFO kind of business development person, working very closely with me. Joyce Caillou, I think you met the last time. And Kim Colebrook is our administrator, who is in the room as well. And I'll start out with a really positive day today. So on the way here, we prepared a really very nice presentation we had at Presence Hospital. We met with all of the discharge planners, all the social workers, all of the nurses, and it went really, really well. We had a very large table discussion. Joyce and I presented a program that we had put together, and I'm happy to pass a few around. Understanding the admission and survey process from the skilled nursing facilities perspective. And it's a few facts about the elderly and what's going on in the very near future, where the statistics of people going in to be in nursing homes, costs and things in general. And then we talked about, so they can understand, the admission process into the nursing home from the hospital, from their perspective and our perspective. We work in hospitals as well. Joyce used to run a hospital as the manager on duty. Tom, I think, was a CFO of a hospital, actually Decatur Hospital. I, myself, was a discharge planner. So we could bridge the whole thing together. And I think it went over very, very well. And it was a great afternoon. They hugged us. They told us all that they wished us a lot of luck. We told them that we wanted them to fully support us. We talked about the August 27th outing.
Thank you.
We asked everyone to come. And so it went over very well. And we said that there's a lot of changes going on. And we were very excited about everything. So I think it went over really well. So
The back page.
That was another. That's another very, very positive thing that we have to tell you. Champaign County Nursing Home has recently cleared all regulatory citations and is in full compliance. All four surveys that came in here recently, we had public health in here last week, and we cleared everything with no deficiencies. Nothing. That's pretty good to come back and do that on for all four surveys, all incidents that occurred prior to our time. So that's a really positive thing. So we just want everyone to know that we don't have that hanging over our heads, other than we actually are working through the attorneys, and we are kind of appealing some of the alleged deficiencies on technicalities, plus, you know, things that we can't really talk about from a HIPAA perspective. But there's a lot of things that I think that it may have happened, and of course, you know, we had some tragic outcomes, but, you know, all in all, I think that we've really taken it to a good level that we're working with the state. So we'll see. We're hoping that we're going to be able to get the fines down as well. So that's really positive, and we were just blowing our horn at the hospital to let them know that. I would be honest, I would expect to see some admissions coming from them in the not too distant future after we walked out today. I was really feeling very positive. Another really positive thing is that we had our first month, you know, I think you can call it that, and a lot of stuff has been going on. And Mr. Laker, I think we take your comments extremely, extremely serious, to the point where one of the very first things that we did here is we have replaced the entire food service group. It's a huge thing, and I will have to apologize to you. During that period of time, we did not have a leader in there, because we let the leader go. And for all good reasons, and we do have a leader in there now. She started, I think, Kim, when did she start?
Just last week, the middle of last week.
The middle of last week. So not only did we change out the whole management in there, we changed out the food service purveyor. We were, their dollar per patient day food cost was $9.98. We are now paying $5.25 per patient day. That's huge difference.
But with the same food.
Same food. Exactly same menu. No changes except to improve the menu. And you ask, how can we do that? They were overcharging them. That's really. So we knew that when we came in here, when I told you that was one of the first things that we were going to hit. And I apologize that they had beans all that time. We were working with, we were supposed to have somebody else start right away. And so she ended up starting last week. She's experienced, well-versed. We should not have those issues again. We were working with the cooks in the kitchen, providing them support. We had a food service person here too. Things will change there drastically. I'd say they're probably on, right now on the beat. But what they were charging you and what we felt was the minute we walked in the door, plus with some of the issues, we looked at some of the surveys that you all have had here. We looked at the food, the quality of the food. We looked at everything. And we hit that straight on. So when you said that last time and we were here, we were already in the process of hitting that. So it's unfortunate, but we couldn't even really discuss it because they really had a technical breach, and we took advantage of the technical breach. And that's how we were able to work through. And we worked very closely with Rick on that, Rick Snyder. I mean, you know, we didn't skip a beat with working very closely with the county. Barb Mann, we were very, very closely with her, state's attorney. So I think we're very excited about that change. That for us is going to be a huge change for the quality and for everything else, as well as the financial bottom line is going to be huge for just in 1 month.
I'll be sure and let you know if it's working.
Please. And you know what? If you see something, please talk to Kim. Kim is available all the time. She talks to families. We're always, you know, we want your input. We do. We're not perfect, but we're doing a lot of good things, we think. We hit the ground running. So that's, you know, and I listen to what you're saying, and the texting of the staff is totally inappropriate, and we're going to address that tomorrow. We have a 6 a.m. meeting that we are all going to be attending, 6 and 7 a.m.
I don't want you to think that I'm anti-staff, because that's what makes, that keeps running.
Yeah.
Out there. And we got some really good people. We've got some people that just aren't carrying their share of the load.
No, we understand that, and there needs to be some leadership there. And
we're working absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've hired, I think we've hired 13 new CNAs, I do believe. So we're getting those folks out there so that they are able to carry the load where they're not having so many.
Well, it shows in what has been going on recently, because it was obvious that people just aren't aware of what they're supposed to be doing and when.
I think the staff are really good people. I said this the last time, and I think that just a little bit of training and working with them, I think we're good. We feel comfortable that all the folks are going to understand. We have meetings scheduled for tomorrow morning to specifically talk with them, and we're going together with the union. The union's going to be there with us as well, and we're going to do it together as a team. We talk to them, and that's the way to do it. You know, it's not us against them or them against us. It's all together. This is something that we're all fired up to do, and we look forward to making the changes, and we think that, you know, the only thing constant is change. And that's really hard for some people, because some people have been doing things the way they've been doing it, and it just wasn't sustainable, the way the facility was running. So there's got to be change. And some people really don't like that. And if that's okay, because then they'll go, you know, and do something else that they would rather do. But we're bringing in a lot of new people. We're working with people, and you know, we look forward to staff staying on and working with us. But the problem is that it's not a problem. We've got to provide quality care and be efficient at it. So there's been a lot of changes. And so I'm happy to talk about some of the changes already that we've done, because we've certainly are moving in that direction, okay? And I'm just going to briefly tell you some of the things that have happened in 1 month, okay? And so we've had a lot of contracted people. There were MDS consultants. There was a director of nursing consultant. There was a business office consultant. All of those consultants are gone. We've all hired within. We've hired from the outside. We have a new DON. We have a new administrator. We have a new MDS person. All people on the payroll, all these consulting contracts were really very expensive. Again, more money to the bottom line, and people that are going to work in the facility that care about the residents day to day, that aren't just contracted people, but people that are, you know, very attached to the people. Food service, again, beside the food cost, it's going to be a huge change. And the only thing that they were providing was the food and the food service supervisor, and there was a dietitian. And the documentation was not what we had hoped it was, and so that's why we made all those changes. We've hired a food service consultant who we work with on a regular basis, who will be the dietitian, who will just come in sporadically.
Right, that meets the requirements.
That meets the requirements, because you have to have that, but not on a full-time basis like there was here, because it really wasn't that necessary. We didn't have so many acutely ill patients, and if we get in more residents that are going to be needing the oversight of the dietitian, then we'll increase her hours, or his hours. So those three contracts alone were almost $40,000 a month. So then you the food and food service alone, it's about $185,000 more a month, or on an annualized basis. This is all on an annualized basis, okay? So these are big, big changes that are going to show all over, not only in the quality, but we are working now with Cisco, who is providing our meals, who has been living in this building since July 1st, I think. He was here, the Cisco provider who works with us in other local buildings, has been in here, and he's making sure that the food is coming. I mean, we literally switched it overnight, and we had food here. So that I was just grateful that we had the food here. So, and it happened. So we just did an RFP for medical supplies. We got numerous different bidders. We're going to be meeting on that. We feel that there'll probably be at least a 10% savings on that, maybe more. We haven't really looked at all the numbers. Today, notices went out to administrative staff, 4 positions, and 1 self-termination. So 5 positions are going to be eliminated going forward. We gave notice. No direct care staff, all non-direct care staff. We've asked people to stay on in other positions if we had other positions available. And we're hopefully with the 13 CNAs that we've hired, we're going to eliminate overtime by at least 50%, hopefully more. I'll be conservative, because at least we'll have enough people to take care. So we're hiring all over, and I tell people that.
And I might add, what we're hoping too is when we have a staff member that's not working their 16th hour or maybe their 14th hour, They're tired. It's hard to be as fresh at the beginning. We think with having adequate staff to fill the shifts, that we're going to see that we're going to have decreased falls, that we're going to have more quality because people aren't so tired because they've worked so much overtime.
So there was an attendance bonus that we're going to talk about, and I'm not going to dwell on it, but prior to our time, prior to coming in here, I think it was the last few months, staff, there did not seem to be enough people really working. That's why we hired up so much. So there was needed overtime, and in order to induce people to come and work, the previous management offered a bonus. But the bonus kept on getting higher and higher and higher. And so that was unauthorized in the union contract, and so that will change. That will no longer occur. So with that being said, there's a lot of savings. I don't want to give an exact number because I you got to balance out because you had we had a higher up, but I'll tell you, it's a pretty big number.
Well, we also believe that while we have that savings sandwiched with that, we're going to have an improvement in the quality of care, because sometimes folks may think, well, if you've had a savings, does that mean that the care is going to suffer? Absolutely not. We've got such good
well, as you can see, public health came in, and I think they were very complimentary of what was going on. So we have a nice relationship with the local public health people. We called them. We told them we were here. We talked to them. They know Kim, so they know Michelle, our director of nursing. As such, the same thing occurred at the hospital today. It was very friendly. They knew Kim, they knew Michelle. So everything that we've done publicly has really been a great, I think it's gonna be really, really great. I'm also planning with the university. November 8th is the date that was chosen, that myself, as not just SAK, but from Champaign County Nursing Home, is going to co-sponsor, and we don't have to give any money, it's just our name on it, is going to co-sponsor a big presentation that will be given to all healthcare folks throughout the Champaign, Iroquois, all the counties nearby, for lungs, for people just in healthcare that need continuing education. And we actually did that today in the hospital. It was so appreciative. We gave continuing education for our topic that we spoke on today, our presentation. We gave nursing continuing education and social worker continuing education. And we could give it for licensed nursing home administrators, too. So we'll invite every nursing home, every assisted living facility, every supportive care living facility, all hospitals. We're going to work with the medical school. The medical school and the School of Social Work are working together on this. And I'm going to be one of the main speakers. So I think we're really excited about all the changes. And I've been interviewed for numerous TV stations. You may be hearing some of the things that, I did an interview last week on Fox News. And I think this week, there's going to be a few too, and I'm going to just tell you a little bit about what that's about, and it's not about all the politics that are going on, and it's not about he said she said. It's about the residents, and it's about the patients, and it's about how they feel, and it's about how all of this affects them. And I think it was pretty interesting how Fox is going to cover it, because she kept on asking me a question, and I kept on answering it according to the resident. And so she said, I guess you answered my question. I said, I did answer your question. So it will be really interesting. I, I'm
hoping to see it. It was supposed to air tonight at 9 o'clock, but I don't know if it's going to. So we haven't heard anything. But I'm trying to think of what else is going on. There's a lot of stuff going on. The thing for August 27th, we had a really, really nice meeting with the group, and I think that we even planned some more things, I think, that we were going to pick dates for. And so, just kind of exciting.
You have another training set up or coming for Carl. Staff also, right?
Right. We're going to be doing Carl Clinic, too. Again, they had a new person there, and I've reached out to them, so I'll reach out to them again. And what we did, the way we did the roundtable today, I think it was really, really interesting. It was really back and forth. It was
Q&A,
reciprocal.
They had questions,
yeah.
And we were able to respond to them and to also let them know that when public health comes in, I mean, they were here for, I believe, 3 days, and it wasn't that they came in and said, oh, we're just going to give you guys a pass here. No, they really dug and they looked and what have you. And that's real stressful
and observed.
For the staff.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they observed and what have you. And so that's real stressful for the staff. So we do want to recognize our staff, and we're going to be doing something for them in the next maybe week or so to let them know we appreciate them and the things that they help us do. While we might have a few that don't perform well, overall, we've got really good staff here.
Staff. And we're getting some nice positive things from families that are coming to our attention about some of the staff, too, which is really, really great to hear. So.
One thing I think is a positive change, too, is from the management side. I know that as soon as you guys got in here, you implemented a daily census report for the home. That was always a problem to get that information from the prior management, but now we have a much more accurate and timely report that tells us exactly where we're at.
And it talks about level of care, all the, where people go, coming and going, and I know that we've given it to Rick, but we've taken all the HIPAA information out, if Rick wants to share it. We have it by breakdown, and it's got to be in by 10 a.m. I mean, that's just standard operating procedure, so I don't know why you couldn't get that before.
And it's a really good teaching tool for the staff, because right away they're looking to see what are the new admissions, who went to the hospital, who may have went someplace else, who went home, so that we can follow up with all those folks. When they go home, we need to be following up with those folks. How are you doing? To give them that opportunity, if they need to come back within 30 days, they can come back on their Medicare. Also, if there's some clinical issue, someone went to the hospital, we're looking at that real careful to see, was there a symptom maybe two or three, four days prior that somebody, maybe if they had caught that early, we might have prevented that person from having to go back to the hospital. And also, if someone left, go to another nursing facility. That really, really is very concerning for us. And hopefully we know that if there's somebody that's not happy, we're able to get with that family right away and try to resolve that before someone does leave and they feel like the only option they have is to go someplace else. We try to follow that. So that admission census daily sheet is a real working tool throughout the facility.
One other thing I like, too, is that when I come over here, when I come to visit Kim, she's never in her office. And that's a good thing, because she's out on the floor walking around, making sure things are getting done. And that's another big change from prior management. So appreciate that, Kim.
Thank you. So I think that all in all, there's a lot of big things going on, a lot of big changes. So thanks for working with us. We know that we got a lot to prove in a short period of time, but I think that in 1 month we've accomplished a huge amount, and
We really look forward to improving. We've also improved the billing. We've pulled all of that together, and you know, we're going through all the old stuff, and we're trying to catch things up. Things were kind of behind, so we're catching all that up.
One of the things that you mentioned when you met with the auxiliary and the friends was, I don't think it's something you've been able to do yet, but I think you said you were planning to do some both training on documentation and also a restorative care with the
yes.
CNAs. Is that,
yeah.
still
yes.
as part of the plan?
I think, Kim, answer that. I think the training is in place.
We've already started.
Yeah.
Restorative programs, I believe, are almost all written, so they're being every resident will be on two restorative programs unless they're very independent or if they're health-wise not
able.
And so what happens with the restorative programs is we also increase the CMI score. The score here is extremely low.
You should say what CMI is, case mix index. Yeah,
case mix index, right. And that score in this facility was, I don't know, very low. We're not used to seeing something so low like that. But we are going to increase that. And what that does is that increases your rate as well. So that will increase your nursing rate. And so you get incentivized to make the residents better and to provide better care for them. And so we immediately came in and found that was one of the areas that was kind of negligent. And so we jumped on that right away. So we're writing programs for that. Kim has got her staff implementing that. And so that's a real positive thing as well. That's on the revenue side. So we're working hard and fast on the billing side, billing all old things that never got billed because we things got timed out. And so we have our office, we have two or three people that just dedicated to just catching everything up here that was not done. And then on the facility-wide, we have the case mix index, and we have, we can be now working out, going out to all the hospitals, doing these presentations is a very, very big start. So we feel that we'll hit everybody between the university and Presence and Carl. We're hitting all the big areas. We'll also go to Christie Clinic, and we're going to hit, everybody that we can, but we're just trying to make the big push that we can initially.
And I think our next focus is looking at therapy. We try to look at all the disciplines, pharmacy, dietary. Therapy is the next one to really look to see the kind of programs, the kind of modalities they're doing to make sure that that program is running as efficiently as it can be, and that all those folks that have a therapy need are being identified, and they have Part B services, and that's an entitlement that if they need to get back on therapy, that they can get on the Part B program. It's 3 days a week, so we're looking at that to make sure if there are residents out there that's had a decline, that perhaps someone did not pick up on it as quickly as they should, that we'll try to get that person into some skilled therapy. So that's probably our next focus, is to really be looking at the therapy program.
And that's improving the care. I mean, all of this, the CMI, the case mix index, all this, that's all improving the care. Yes?
Well, thank you, and I really appreciate the drive to improve the care of everybody. Board members are interested in just those things
we really aren't supposed to recognize members of the public.
Yeah,
we aren't supposed to recognize
people out there.
There's a point of order about calling into the audience during these meetings that the public has the opportunity, and I recognize you as a board member.
That's the normal process as a board member to be able to speak at meetings.
Not for the nursing home board. It's not a county board committee.
You let a private citizen speak at a meeting, and this is a meeting of a county board member like any other county board member at a meeting. I don't know why the nursing home meeting would be different. I go to plenty of other meetings and speak.
At this point, and until I can look into it, sitting here as chair tonight, I'm going to allow it, not to discourage it at all, but I'll go ahead and ask your question, and we'll get the dialogue with the current board members here. I'll try to get some clarification through the administration on how we should handle this in the future and establish a policy that's consistent, because there has been in the past outreach into the audience with board members. So, you had a question. Did you get a chance to ask it?
No, I haven't had a chance.
Please go ahead.
I was going to thank her for the things that they've accomplished in the limited time that they've been here and addressed. It seems like there's many of the issues are things that, as county board members of the board itself, that hopefully we can address tomorrow, and I want to prepare her for that. Whether it's food service and its cost, which was something we had to increase during our time at the county board, or consultants that were hired that we thought were MPA's responsibility when they hired people to do the application process, which obviously you've moved on, that we're no longer doing now as that you are here. You've also found changing the rates to bring in more money to be paid by doing training for the nurses, those types of things. And there are multiple other things that, as the professionals that you are, a question I think that I see is how we could have seen those things or known about those things. To be able to ask those questions differently or look at those questions differently when they came up, to know it. And finally, the other part of this is what you found in the ARs for the money that we're expecting and how far back we are owed. In my understanding, we're almost 210 days back in payables, and that the money that we're owed, and that the state owes us, instead of not $1.1 million, but $771,000. So if you could cover that a little bit.
Yeah, and I'm gonna, Tom has researched some of that. So some of this, again, it's gonna be hard to clarify what's owed and such, because we don't know. We have to get into it. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm sure there's monies that are owed that we're able to, within the last year or so, that we're billing like crazy, that if it wasn't billed, it's getting billed on the Medicare Part B side and things like that. Some of the Medicaid and such is Medicaid pending that is just not being paid with the state. Some of it is late payment on the state. And I think Tom may have a little bit of a idea, but I think a total amount, I don't know that we can give you a total amount, because we don't even know if it's good AR or bad AR. We have to really get into it.
Yeah, I guess my observations, first of all, when I walked up, you guys have a real big facility here. It's over 200 beds, and the census is 133, and that alone, on a single-story nursing home facility, is a lot to handle. And so I guess the first thing is to kind of look at the census, look at the units or the wings, and see how to marry those up. As Susie said, if you start marketing to the physicians and the hospitals and they start sending patients over here, and we want to be ready for them and give them good care and good service. And so that's part of it. On the receivable side, the numbers are out there, but the process to actually collect those receivables really needs to be looked into. And you know, you have to look at everything that's less than a year old and see what's been billed, and if it hasn't been billed, you need to bill it. Then you have to go to, you know, the Medicaid, Medicare insurance and make sure you have all the appropriate numbers. So you guys go to your physicians, you have your health card, and you give them your number, and you run it through your insurance company. Well, that's the same thing that happens here, only it's more complicated because of the various plans that people have. And so you have to make sure you have all the numbers collected so that when you bill Medicare and Medicaid, they have the ability to manage that claim and send it back. My guess is that there's claims that have been, you know, misnumbered, if you will. There's information, we call it correspondence, that has come back, and that correspondence is just sitting on somebody's desk without really any management to that process. And so those are some of the things that you know, I'd like to, you know, take the time to investigate.
So we don't know how many applications are open right now and how many have been completed by the state. That was a number that we did know before. It was 36, 37. And there was 12 people, only 12 people currently in the nursing home. We don't know that information now. I mean, I think I should get it.
We didn't bring that information specifically today, but again, we don't know when those are going to get approved. It's not like it's,
well,
you know.
I understand those.
Okay.
I've been through this enough that I understand what the situation is. I don't think we're going to get paid for probably more than 70% of those.
Well, we may
but
get
right
paid.
Now,
just
right
maybe
now,
a long
the
time.
Number has been reported as 1.1 million, but the actual number is $707,000, as I understand. The most that you might likely get, besides that IGT money. And I think we need, as a county board, we weren't getting good information before. And we want to make sure we're getting the information now, and we want numbers, we want to know what the census is, as Rick has talked about. Mm-hmm. And you sound as you're giving us that now, and you're working diligently to try to get there, and it's been a month and a half, and now we're going to be going into our budget, and that was asked of you before, what is your plan to move through that? And that's going to be asked again, because the county is going to be asked to cut staff and budget. And there's going to be an expectation that you're either part of that, or we know where you're going, because you're preparing. What I really hear here is make this nursing home ready to sell, and that's important. And you have a plan to do that, to get this census up and ready to do that. And we need the numbers to know that.
Well. You gotta give us a chance. We just came in here, and to be honest with you, these are all the numbers before us. So,
I understand.
So these numbers that we're presenting to you were never closed. We closed somebody else's numbers. Okay? Not only that, but you know, July's therapy logs and a lot of their records. We still do not have, because we've had vendors that were a little bit angry with the previous operator, and so we're working through getting all the logs. So we haven't even been able to close the books for July when we came here. So we're telling you other people's numbers, and there's no way in 30 days you can tell what's been going on when this has been going on for years. And I appreciate, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, the concepts that you're talking about,
right.
We believe in the same concepts.
Same thing.
We just need to get there.
Right.
I'm just preparing you for the way you see it. Right.
So you're preparing us for tomorrow.
I want to give you time. I want to give you time.
Yeah, but again, so we're moving forward, and we will have all those numbers. But again, we're working off of trying to get all of the therapy logs and everything that went on so that we can do the billing. We haven't been able to get that because we have a vendor that's holding out on giving us information because they were angry with the previous group.
Okay.
So a follow-up question to that. So I appreciate that you're still in the midst of doing that. I think one of the things that's being raised is, you know, when would we see numbers? And I guess one of the questions that has come up a couple of times is, and I assume you're going to be putting together, here's what our expectations are on collections. So there's some...
Yeah, so I guess I'd like to offer to work with Rick and figure out the, you know, the timing,
right,
whatever your schedule is, and we can get together and,
right,
and kind of meet that schedule.
And that will be something that the advisory board will, when again, understanding that you couldn't have all that for this meeting, but we'll be interested probably by the next meeting, if not before, to see sort of your census report and the financial report for July, and then your estimation, as you say, you working with Rick on what the collections are.
Right, and we're in the middle right now of doing budgets for next year, so we're going to have budgets by probably the end of this week. But you got to remember, we've already reduced a lot of that. We're redoing all the budgets because we're not going to work off of the same numbers that were here before. So there's been a lot of work that's been done in the billing. We've had to catch up billing for several months. So we're still in the process of doing that. So we agree with you. We're going to have all that. But again, as we move forward.
Yeah. I think what you're going to see is, Jim McGuire indicated, this pressure from the board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're so challenged coming into a new operation for yourself, the condition it was in, and all the work that has to be done to stop the hemorrhaging and get the best care for residents. And that becomes your priority. And at the same time, working, because it's a government entity, you have that influence coming at you saying, well, we have needs too.
Sure.
And I recognize what your priority has been since you've come here. And it has been for the nursing home itself and its residents. And that's obvious. So I appreciate those efforts that they that you're going to start hearing.
Right.
As we start looking at budgets, mm-hmm, because dollars we have historically dealt with are large.
Mm-hmm.
They are people's jobs, potentially,
mm-hmm,
and services that we provide that are mandated.
One of the things we're also working on, I mean, one of the things we prioritized here is that when SAK came in, we had to get them to have a handle on the finances. But most important, above all things, is to continue the revenue stream. If we don't have revenue coming in, the home doesn't continue to operate. And if we don't have revenue, then we're coming to county board to ask for loans and other things. We've been trying to avoid that. So far, we've been pretty successful at keeping the lights on without having to ask for any additional money. It's been real close a few times, but making sure that billing happens in a timely manner has been our focus. And we also have, and I know you're going to go on to this next, mm-hmm, is that we do have the results for May and June at least.
Mm-hmm.
Those were not left in a state of good order by the prior management company, so it's taken some time for SAK to get all the information and put it together, and also to transition some of the billing. We can,
yeah,
those can be shown to the public also, so if there's extra copies, we can hand them out.
Sorry, I just have one question about the report. Can you tell us what the 5 administrative positions are that you've eliminated?
Yeah. So we've notified people today, there were 4 that were eliminated.
Oh,
and then the one extra. So I think everybody's been notified, right? Okay. The 4 people were all notified.
No, I'm not asking about people. I'm asking.
No, right.
What positions are you eliminating?
Right. So we eliminated a unit secretary, an activity coordinator.
We had 2 units.
We had 2. An activity coordinator, an adult day coordinator, and an AP clerk, and then the director of HR self-eliminated.
Are you
going to
fill that position? Or is that
which
mostly
one?
Going to be eliminated, the HR director?
I don't think we've made a
huge decision on exactly we're going to have. We will have somebody doing the position. So we'll probably have the, we'll still have an HR position.
Mm-hmm. I have a question too. Mm-hmm. So you're eliminating an activity coordinator and adult day coordinator. Is that because you also had the position of activity director and adult daycare director?
Correct.
So, and will that activity coordinator, will that, would there be an activity position open in that department?
So we've offered them all positions. Everybody has pretty much been offered.
Yeah, they've been offered better positions. Many of those were CNAs, and that still leaves us with an activity director and 4.5 activity aides. Mm-hmm. So we still think we have enough staff quality.
Well, you know, we did things for census and for, you know, parents.
Yes, I understand. And then the adult day coordinator that you're eliminating, then I know the adult daycare director left, so what are you planning to do with the adult daycare director position? Has that been posted or?
No, the assistant is filling in that position right now.
And that was the coordinator?
The coordinator, yes. She knows the area well, and she's filling in that position, and we've offered to her as an interim till we can see which way we need to go.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So this is just what we just passed around is a kind of like a summary of the May and June results. And again, you know, we closed someone else's results, so we kind of gave you a little bit of a summary.
You have all of the backup information in the packet, I think.
Yeah,
right?
Everything that is in detail here pretty much, you know, is in the summary. But again, the restructuring and the changes that we made will be in the... some of them will show up in July and August.
To me, the two numbers that kind of drive these this information, the May census of 133 and the June census of 141.
And current census is 133, did you say?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so is this the kind of report that you would bring to us each month?
We'll bring a summary. I'm not sure it'll look exactly like that. We're kind of working with it. This is what we had to work with.
Okay.
Because, you know, again,
right. We'll be interested in what metrics you're looking at and just...
We'll give you a summary so that...
I'm looking forward to July and August.
We are too. Yep. A lot of things on the back burner. I think the best thing to do is to just keep everybody very, very motivated that this is for the residents, and we are trying really to keep all other issues outside of really speaking, because it hurts the residents when things are said publicly. This is their home. And I think that if it were anyone else's home and people were talking about what's going on, you know, you'd be surprised how it's affecting families, how it's affecting staff. We've really gotten into talking to people. And so we as managers would appreciate it that it's really kept at a very low tone and not as public to the residents, because we really want them to feel comfortable living here. And we're making every available means for them to live a quality life. And we really hope and encourage others to do that too. So
that's a challenge when it's publicly owned.
It is. But we're going to ask everyone to please acknowledge that, because it really, there's a lot of neighbors. You have a lot of neighbors living here.
when the resident was interviewed for the TV, it was quite interesting to see how many of her neighbors and her friends are here, and this is their home, and they have no place else to go. And so I think that that was the real human side that was brought out in this. And so when we all talk about stuff like that, you don't realize how it really affects them. It really does. As well as staff. We've been told, you know, we've been talking to staff, you know, we want everybody to feel good working here and doing a good job.
Does that conclude the management report?
I think so.
Are there any questions of management, the board members? We'll move on to old business. We'll have two items, one that was added under amendment. First item is A, publicity for the August 27th social event.
We really took care of that. Yeah.
So item B was added by my recommendation, and that is the county's discussions with Carl and Presence. The possibility of operating a home under a nonprofit schema. The reason I brought this up is when I look at last month's minutes, it refers to a meeting the county is having, representatives, with Carl and Presence to have that very discussion after our last meeting. So we need some closure on this, or at least some information that tells us where it's going. And Kathy, you can brief us on that?
Yep. So several of us met with both the CEO of Presence Covenant and the vice president at Carl. And it was the second follow-up meeting. We presented them with sort of options that they, how they might be involved with the nursing home. They asked for about a month or so to think about it, talk with their groups, and come back and talk with us. So they did, and on July 20th, they said, okay, we're interested in helping with the nursing home, but not not essentially in some of the ways that you've proposed. So some part of the proposal included anything from being in an advisory capacity to jointly owning the home in conjunction with the county, which was really the recommendation that was made by the consultant that the county board brought in. And they essentially said, we're not interested in the at that end of the spectrum. But they were interested in helping in an advisory role. We also, some of the other good news was, we said, our census is down. Are you seeing something about our facility that makes you want to do your referrals? And they had each gone back and said, we're not hearing anything like that. That's not an issue. So I think the kind of meeting you had would help that. But they, at a high level, were not getting the word that there were problems here, that they wanted to avoid this facility. I think they were looking for improved relationships, which obviously you're working on. Some of the action items that came out of it were that we would develop a quality care task force made up of representatives from the hospital and the nursing home establish some metrics that were important from the hospital's perspective, and metrics that you all thought were important from a management perspective to make sure they got communicated to the hospitals. And we would work on identifying those metrics and then measuring against those metrics. And then we talked about the possibility of there being a not-for-profit owner of the nursing home, not them as joint owners of the nursing home, but just the possibility of a not-for-profit owner, and they expressed some interest in that. One of the things that they are interested in doing is seeing how they can help the nursing home develop certain programs that are important to them. They talked about the possibilities of telemedicine programs to help reduce readmissions, care pathway programs. Again, I bet there are things you talked about with the care management staff. They talked about some of the other needs that they have, and they said a quality care task force would be helpful in identifying those needs and looking at ways to move ahead or not move ahead on them, whatever was possible. So we're scheduling a follow-up meeting, an initial meeting with the quality care task force aimed at mid-September.
Questions of Kathy? attended the first meeting with Carl in presence. I was able to attend the last one, but I was very appreciative of the receptiveness and willing to consider all the options that you had put together in the PowerPoint presentation for them to see how they might best work with the cabinet. But they have their own mission, and we recognize that. But they're still doing outreach, trying to work with us. Thank you, Captain. And we'll move on to item 9, which is the next meeting, which is scheduled for
September 11th.
Yeah.
My apologies.
September 11th, 2017 at 6 p.m. here. And that concludes the business. I adjourn this meeting. Thank you.
Well,